Good morning. This podcast is brought to you by HTS, Home Theater Solutions. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. HTS specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems. I got all my Sonos system from them. Security cameras and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call. 1-800-690-2029. 1-800-690-2029. Or visit them at htsav.net. 3, 2, 1. Good morning. Kifa.
Good morning.
How's it going?
Kifa, I actually prefer Sunborn.
Kifa Sunborn.
Sunborn, just singular.
Dude, you're complicated. Because you're my phone, you're Keith.
Right, you're not the only one, believe me. Anyone who's hearing this knows this.
Sunborn.
That I am complicated.
So it's now Sunborn.
It's been Sunborn for over 20 years.
Okay. Well, I guess what I'm saying is now I need to just go to Sunborn.
If you would.
You're welcome. Absolutely. I'll have to change my phone. Well, I liked Kifa.
Kifa's cool. Kifa is what the Argentinians call me.
I'm going to stick with Kifa.
Okay, Kifa's cool.
You know what? Because it's like you have this, like, I have a bunch of friends. Most of my friends call me Tom. Then I have a couple that call me David. And I'm like, okay, I'll be David.
So you're naming me.
Your name's Kifa.
Well, Kifa.
I'm not naming you. Not renaming you. I'm using your name. You know the name you have?
Rebranding, right.
I'd like to be called Starbeam.
No, but there's...
I do respect that.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Just a little bit.
I actually thought I was doing good going from Keith to Kifa.
Keith. I've got... When I'm in the Matrix, that's what they call me. They call me Keith.
Keith,
yeah. And
what is the Matrix? Like reality?
Matrix is the false reality.
False reality.
Yeah, so when you go out there and you're paying your bills and you're doing all these things that are basically a distraction.
Yes.
Because I think what the real world is, in my opinion, the emotions and the feelings and the inner world.
Well,
if that makes sense.
It's the man-made shit that screws us up.
The man-made, thank you.
You know, I got up the other night, you know, I sleep in just, you know, small shorts or my underwear or whatever. Okay. And I get up and I'm walking through the house in the middle of the night. I'm like, ah, damn, I feel great. Not a problem in the world. No, my stomach's not rubbing on any shirt. Right. You know, it's. I'm like, gosh, I feel great. Why do I even need to get up and run or anything? And then, you know, you get dressed and you're like, ugh, wow. Like,
restriction?
Yeah, well... Things touch and bump into other things, and you're like, wow. if I just didn't have to wear these clothes.
Right.
It's the clothes that are the problem. It's not my gut.
Exactly. Right. But no, so like The Matrix, you've seen the movie, right?
Of course.
Okay.
I've seen it. I absolutely forget what it's about. And then I see it again, and then I'm like, I don't remember what this is about. And then it takes me half the movie to remember, and then it makes sense, and then I forget again.
So, yeah, I feel like I use The Matrix as an example. It's based off of, it's like, what do we call that? An analogy? A real-time analogy of what's going on in the world. So that movie came out in the 90s. Everyone is basically, not everyone, the masses are robots. Mm. You're just doing what you're told, and...
You say robots, I say rubber ducks.
Rubber ducks.
You're just another, get in line with the rest of the ducks.
Cookie cutter, right? So yeah, that's like, and it's all program. It's all by design. And so yeah, when I go out into the world, you know, my mom calls me Keith, and I have to write my name like as Keith for, you know, documents and bills. So yeah, that's The Matrix, and the real world is everything stemming from love.
Sunborn.
Yeah, man.
I dig that. Well, you know me. I'm definitely. I fight the cookie cutter.
Okay.
You know, because I do. I agree. You know, program. I think it's just over time we fall into this. You know, like I think we're going through it right now. You know, people are like. You know, this whole thing that went down in Washington, they're like, you know, all these people were supporters of Trump. I don't know. I think just a bunch of people are poor and unhappy and sick and are ready for change.
Right.
And ready for doing the same thing, the insanity of the same shit we've been doing over and over.
Right.
You know, it all came together at one time between COVID, the Black Lives Matter, the election, Trump. I mean, all of it.
It's like a bottle.
They all showed up on Wednesday.
Right, right.
You know, they showed up on Wednesday and they took a knee.
No, they didn't.
Sort of, right?
Or figuratively speaking?
Figuratively speaking. They took a damn knee. And, you know, I was talking to my father-in-law about this last night. And I go, I don't think all those people were there because they love Trump. I think they're just tired of being poor.
Right.
You know, they're just tired.
Oh, I hear you. Okay, cool. So they're tired. So that maybe it's like trying to break free from the matrix where... there must be something more. There has to be something more than this. People trying to, or even in my situation, you're just waiting for the next check. You're just waiting. Or right to segue to what we've been talking, the emotional intelligence or thinking logically versus emotionally. People being fed up and wanting, it's like something's got to change. I have to have, there's got to be more fulfillment than just, you know, watching daytime TV and paying bills or something like that. If that makes sense.
Well, the screwy part is that, what's the biggest thing that people are worried about? They don't want to turn into socialism, right? That's what I always hear. We're losing this. Let's turn it into socialism.
Could you, for me, so socialism, your definition of socialism?
I'm just assuming that this government takes care of everything.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
People don't want socialism, but they want. It seems like a lot of people want everything that comes with socialism, but they don't want to call it socialism.
Okay.
So I
get that.
I don't get it.
So maybe what it is, and this is something I've been thinking about too. Right. So maybe I think that if you break it down, right, if it's just a terminology, socialism, and this is what this means. I think that we need to be somewhat educated on what everything is because I'm 47 and had to really ask you what is socialism?
I went and visited Norway.
Okay.
Norway is a socialism country.
Okay.
Socialism.
Okay.
I don't even know. This is just shit I gathered from listening to other people, but I know that that's the way Norway's run. So when you're sick, you just go to the doctor.
Okay.
There's no, you know, healthcare card. You just get healthcare.
I agree with that.
One of the beautiful, greatest places I've ever visited. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Norway. Mm-hmm. Stavanger. It was beautiful. The people were beautiful. It was just amazing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't seem that upset.
Right.
So I'm sure there's like, you know, a socialistic, I don't know, of China. I don't know what... I know there's bad versions of it, right? You don't. Yeah, part of my problem is I don't really know much about socialism.
Right.
I just hear it.
Yeah, me too.
So it's socialism. We're losing our country. It's going to be a socialistic country, and I'm like,
something is when they say that. I almost, and this is what's going on, purposefully, I think, in the Matrix. Just thinking, and this is what came to me this morning. I remember hearing John McCain say the word repudiate. They use like a different vocabulary in, you know, when the politicians or when they're talking on Capitol Hill or whatever. It's a totally different vocabulary, in my opinion, as to confuse the peons and the peasants or whatever, so they don't know what's going on. And just like we're talking about, like, we don't even really understand, like, what exactly is socialism? But... you know, for some of the countries that do are socialist countries, it seems like the people in those countries are healthier and not having to worry about, oh, if I go to the hospital or whatever, oh, I can't go to the hospital, I can't take care of myself because I don't have the funds. But it seems like if you are able to take care of some of these, if you don't have to worry about your hospital bill, doctor bill, or you don't have to worry about what would be another thing that socialism brings to the table
Probably insurance.
Insurance. Okay, cool. So if you don't have to worry about those things, it seems like you might be able to put that energy into another part of your life that could make it so that you won't even have to, you know, that you wouldn't have to go to the doctors for a certain reason or something like
well,
that.
Well, I think the thing missing from socialism is capitalism.
Okay.
And so the ability for somebody that wants to work extra hard,
okay,
who's extra smart,
okay,
who's extra driven,
okay,
to go out there and create extra revenue for themselves.
Okay.
So I think that's where, you know, that gets lost. But I'm not even sure of that. I don't even know. I'm assuming because everything else seems like it would be just fine. So, you know, we're full of capitalists right here.
Why can't we do both? Why can't there, I mean, there would have, no, it's not even why can't there be both. I believe where we should be at in this new world. So outside of the outside of the matrix, we would be working together. Mm-hmm. Outside of the matrix, I want you to be happy. You should want, no, I'm trying to be happy and I hope that you're trying to be happy. Whatever you're doing, if it's not bothering me, oh, do you, because I'm going to do me. So making sure, like, we should all be able to get a piece of the pie or a piece of what we want. Some people, I guess, don't even, you know, we have simple people out there who might not want a Tesla or, you know, their second home or something like that. But for that person who wants it, yeah, sure, go for it.
Well, don't you think, I mean, it feels to me like we don't know really what happiness is. To me, what if you were to if I landed in a spaceship and landed on the ground and I asked 10 people what's happiness, they'd be me getting what I wanted. You know, me getting that. That makes me happy. And unfortunately, that a lot of the time we don't get it, whatever it is. So what happens if that, what's the opposite? Unhappy. So to me, and in my life, and you were talking about how you've been going through some changes, and I've shared this before. I've shared it 100 times. You know, if I'm happy, or if, like, so for my for example, my kids, I say, "Are you happy?"
"Yes."
I go, "Well, I must be doing a bad job." Right?
Okay, because you're satisfied?
No, because, you know, if that means to them, they're getting everything that they want.
Okay.
So what are we creating? Okay. Characters.
Okay.
We're not creating character. Okay. We're creating characters.
Okay.
And I think a lot of people like that. If they're unhappy, it's because they have a list of things they are not getting.
Okay.
And for me, it's like, it's that grind, that suffer, like, oh my God, is this, am I going to fail? You know, when I, like, especially like when I started the salon, I remember I'm not a businessman. I'm barely a hairdresser. You know, I was just learning, but I knew that if I was going to do something, I wanted to do it and run it. And constantly going, you know, can I do it? Can I do it? Am I going to make it? Am I going to fail? But at the end of the day, when I lay my head down, I'm like, wow, full day of just stress and work and rolling up my sleeves. And I don't feel like I left anything on the table for the day. To me, that is a happiness. That is a serenity. That's a peace, you know.
The struggle.
The struggle.
Okay.
But if someone said, listen, Tom, here, free salon. Have it. I'd be like, oh, I would not appreciate all the work and effort that I had to put in the fear and the ups and the downs. So I think for me, and I've said this before, it's redefining what happiness is.
Okay.
And a lot of those people in D.C. had a list of things they weren't getting, and the reason they weren't getting it usually is because of D.C., Washington, government.
Okay.
When Trump showed up that day back in whenever and he said, drain the swamp, he grabbed a lot of people's ears.
Sure.
Because a lot of the problems, and people will say that a lot of the problems that they're going through, their families and their communities and their cities are going through, is because of big government.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a very easy trail to, or horse to latch your trailer onto, was if drain the swamp, let's get rid of big government. It was great, but he changed. He's like, this is pretty cool. I like it here. I don't want to leave, you know? And so he brought a bunch of people, but he's kind of changed the thing, and now he's like wishwashing on both sides. He's got everyone confused. It's crazy. He's out of his mind.
It's so crazy. I want to maybe go back a little bit, and you're talking about, you know, being people want this happiness. There's a couple things that something came up for me for that. Right. But maybe... Does for someone to be happy, does it have to be a want? Like, is it?
No, okay. To me, happiness is a byproduct.
Okay.
You don't go find happiness. You go do a bunch of other stuff, and happiness is created from the byproduct.
Okay, I got it. So then, outside of the Matrix, and maybe in a future podcast, I'm going to try to introduce like 5D and 3D. Real fast. So the 3D world, if I were to create some sort of terminology right now or write some words for us, terms, the 3D world would equate to the Matrix. That's where you have that jargon right now. Out there, people are relating the 3D world with the Matrix. 3D, three-dimensional, right? Mm-hmm. And so this new energy that's coming in is the 5D world, which is outside of the Matrix. And so when you're saying, the struggle to get what I, working hard for my happiness, outside of the Matrix, what you would do is whatever your purpose is, what it is that's in your heart to do, I really want to be a hairdresser or own a salon, I want to have a yoga studio or whatever. If you're in the 5D world, which is the real world, we should be doing what's in our hearts and laboring in that, and the outcome of that would be the happiness, but we're doing what we want to do.
Yeah. Not many people get to do that, though.
Those that are in the Matrix aren't doing, I would say a large percentage of them aren't doing what they want to do. Yeah. Hence the idea of being slaves. So the new world that the real reality that I believe is intended by the creator, just how the sun and the moon and the waters do what they do, we're supposed to live out our soul's purpose, I believe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, happiness, everything that we have is all man-made. Try to think what it'd be like 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. The only problem I have are people. My life would be, can you imagine if you just on the planet by yourself, nobody else? How would you talk?
What would you do?
What would you
say? Would you talk?
Yeah, what would you say? And do you wake up every morning just trying to be happy, or do you just wake up every morning and just put your best foot forward, and then the byproduct is happiness? I didn't get up this morning and said, damn it, I'm going to go be happy.
Right.
I went up and said, I'm going to go for a run because that's important for my mental.
Nice.
I'm having a podcast with Sunborn this morning.
S.I.
It's always a great chat.
Give thanks.
I'm going to go have a podcast with my buddy Carlos, and I'm going to take a nap.
Nice.
I'm going to pick up my kids, and then I'm going to sit down at the end of the night and relax and go to bed.
Nice.
All that is basically in a state of happiness, right? It's when the unhappiness shows up, right? It's just redefining it.
So the unhappiness meaning something that might be uncomfortable or
inconvenient.
An inconvenience.
It's all happy.
Yes. We are happy, but I'm just going back to... What did you said something? Yeah, the soul being happy, the soul being free, not caged by. I got to get 40 hours, and I have the weekend to catch up, and then I'm back at it again.
Maybe we should replace happiness with a spiritual awakening.
Okay,
and just that. People are like, oh God, is that church?
Right.
Is that religion? I don't want to go to church.
Right.
And you say, well, what's your issue with God? I don't like God, and it's the funniest thing. Usually God hasn't given them what they want, so they broke up.
Or I think that the people who have explained who God is to them messed it up.
That could be. I don't know. But that there's usually, I had a great girlfriend once until she broke up with me, and then I didn't like her anymore. It's like until I stopped getting what I wanted, then I'm like, I'm unhappy with the relationship. But a spiritual awakening to me is a byproduct of hard work, of suffering. When I run, it's every day I wake up with this, me, myself, and I all get up in the morning. Good morning, good morning. How you doing? I'm fine. What are we eating? What are we doing today? You know, it's all about me. And, you know, I muster up some strength to pull it together and go for a run like I did this morning. And, you know, the first mile is like, ugh, it's cold. Mm-hmm. It hurts. Mm-hmm. I'm tired. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, yeah. You know, all of a sudden I start loosening up. Yeah. I'm like, God. Smells good out here.
Yeah.
Man, it's crisp. It's nice. Not cold now. It's, right, it's crisp.
Yeah.
You know, look at the distance that I can see, the beauty, the sunshine.
The quiet.
And the self-centered side of me starts to pour out my pant leg. You know, it's just, it goes away. It's happiness, spiritual awakening, a good place in my relationship with the spirit is always good. It's just this weird, like, wall that, like, pops up out of the ground and surrounds me and keeps it hidden and behind self.
Interesting.
And right. Then when the run starts and I start suffering, and someone's like, I don't like that word. We should change that word to, like, different than suffering. I'm like, why? It's suffering. It's opposite of what I would rather do, which was stay in bed.
So then define suffering. What does Google, or what is suffering? If someone said to you that they didn't like suffering, because I feel like I wouldn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be suffering. I think you're like moving through,
I guess
it's like you're kind of like, you know, what you explained to me, I got the image of like breaking a horse in. So you know, your body, you're resistant to moving your body or whatever, but when you move your body, you're like, oh my gosh, this feels so good. Like, this feels
well,
like.
Yeah. But the other thing is, you know, when I lived in Albuquerque, you know, my dad's a retired colonel, and we lived in Albuquerque, and he was actively a colonel at the time, and we had a neighbor, I think his name was like Larry Stockton or something, but he was captured in Vietnam.
Okay.
And they were kept in little 3x3 bamboo boxes, you know, while they were captured. And it wasn't him, but another guy, another POW who had been in Vietnam, talked about, you don't live until you suffer, until you, you know, there's okay. Like, for us, that would be unheard of, to be put in a 3x3 bamboo box. But mm-hmm. for his situation, I guess the suffering, he said he never lived any, he never had a better living experience than he was locked in that box.
Wow.
The suffering, but it got rid of all self.
Mm.
It's weird.
So people, I get it. I hear what you're
saying. Suffering has a pre-existing condition to it. You know, people automatically think, well, I don't want to do that. But it is a suffering. You okay. know, there is a, it's like.
What's synonymous with suffering? Give me, like, if someone, I hear
Jesus
suffering.
Carrying a cross on his back through the streets.
Like suffering, like you're going through this pain.
It was written on my face.
Interesting. I'm, and if we can maybe jump back, because I'm something also.
And also, you know, Sunborn, I'm not. This is a the words are for you to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I did not suffer this morning. I had the most amazing time. But I've learned. It's been, you know, this has been 20 years of doing this. It's been a lot of thinking and byproducts of this and that and understanding. You know, I wanted a spiritual awakening a long time ago, and I couldn't find it because I was searching for my little spiritual buddy that was going to pop out of the floor.
Okay.
But what I realized is a spiritual awakening is removing self.
Okay.
Suffering through running.
Okay.
You know, whatever
it
is.
I got you.
Gets rid of self, and then all of a sudden the light shows up.
So I hear you.
And that's not God.
Okay.
It's just the opposite of me.
There's a lot of things that
excuse me. Do you run?
I don't.
You should.
I
you'd get it.
I bike, and I well actually.
Why do you bike?
I know that I've been exercising all my life. I've been active all my life. So if I'm not being active, I don't feel good.
Why? And, what happens?
Well, I just know. So the way that I would explain it is that I know that the body needs movement. The body needs to be worked so that it can make itself feel good. So that it can, yeah, it's like almost like a self-cleaning oven. If you start working your body, you start moving things and, you know, your emotions, and you can start to process. And it's the body is meant to move. So, I mean, I totally get it with the running, and I have you know, had some experiences with running where, you know, I'm like, yeah, right, how do I, am I going to get around this one lap here? And then, you know, you get that high and you're just like, yeah, I'm like, this feels good.
See, that high, that's a great thing. That high, they say, oh, you get that runner's high. That's called lack of self.
So you, so we could say, okay, lack of self, or endorphins are, you know, being released out of your body, but
yeah, well, and I have a buddy,
or in
Trey
your brain.
Downs, who does a podcast up in D.C., and he's like, he's the same way. You know, I'm like, self leaves, the spiritual awakening. He's like, I think those are like endorphins and electricity and electronics and, you know, chemicals. I'm like, no, it's spiritual, bro. So it just depends.
It, and it, it's all the same thing. So it, you're right. It, it is that.
Well, you know, it takes 5 days of work to enjoy 2 days of the weekend. There's a design to that.
So wait, so say that again?
It takes 5 days of working so that we enjoy the 2 days off. Can you imagine working 2 days and having 5 days off?
I almost disagree with that model. I think that, you know, so if you had a farm, you know, you're going to be doing that every day, right? You're taking care of the animals, cleaning up. It's not like, you know, so if you're doing a...
farming is different.
Farming is different, but let's say as for a musician, you know, being able to play, my goal or aspiration would be able to play every day. And
yeah, but that's not.
But that's what, say what,
well,
you said.
The 7 days a week thing wasn't invented, you know, a couple years ago. When it was invented, I think the point was is that, you know, you need to work 5 days. You need to put your time in. You can you imagine having 4 day work week and a 4 day weekend?
Andrew, I was just thinking that. Andrew Yang is talking about having a 3 day weekend and a 4 day work week or something like that. I think that's how it would go.
Well, maybe that's what we need now. I don't know.
It could work. This is what's coming up for me. But for those who work at like McDonald's, Starbucks, and jobs that aren't fulfilling, they're not going to want it. Like, so many, today's Monday. Statistically, this is like the day that a lot of people commit suicide.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I got to go back to work. I got to go to the grind.
I got to go suffer.
I got to go suffer. And it's like, it's taking my life. So the pattern for most people.
So do you think it's taking their life, or they're just not, you know, one of the biggest things I think that people are, you know, being accountable for decisions that they've made in their lives. You know, there's a reason.
Oh my gosh. So now we're just like, it's right. We're going into,
it goes deeper.
It's
important though, because there, you know, I was talking to, I've had this conversation a lot lately. It's like trying to understand, like, so sometimes my wife gets pissed at me. She's like, you know, I have to go to work. And I'm like, well, I have to go to work too. Yeah. But you're going to go podcast and you're going to go cut hair. And I go, well, I chose to go to hair school.
Right.
I decided a couple of years ago to podcast in the kitchen. You know, I'm just doing what I've decided to do.
Exactly.
You decided not to.
Right.
And this is where you're at. And that's fine. She has a great job, but she's a little bugged.
So, but maybe even to what we're talking about, maybe she's not really, maybe the suffering and the unhappiness, which would, in my opinion, that all will connect to not being satisfied, lack of, what do we call that? When you're, okay, so you're not getting what you want out of life. So you're dissatisfied.
Yeah.
And so then maybe that can come over into the relationship where, well, hon, what's wrong? And it's just like, well, you know, I've been doing this job for however long, and it weighs on you.
Well, and so there, that is kind of, I feel like, what our problem is that you're weighed on and you're not really digging it, probably because you're comparing yourself to whether it's your neighbor or somebody else or somebody on TV, and you're like, how come I'm working so much, so hard, and really not getting anywhere, but all these people, like the Kardashians, you know, or whatever it is, these examples of people they like to put in front of us, of people that are doing really well. You know, Bill Gates, you probably hear Zuckerberg, Gates, Elon Musk. You probably hear those names at least once in a day, throughout the day, every day. Mm-hmm. You know, so there's always all these examples of people that are doing really well compared to me, which is not really well. But I could probably put 10 people in front of us that wish they could live our lives.
Sure.
So, you know, it's, I did a podcast a couple weeks and it was called Just Staying on My Square. You know, minding my own business.
Staying in your lane.
Staying in my lane, staying on my square, and staying in the moment. Stop projecting. Stop living in the projection. I live in the projections all the time. I live in the, reminiscing how it used to be, reflecting. I live in the reflecting,
too. That's normal. I feel like that's normal.
It's normal, but, you know, you can, it's easy. It's lazy. It's not really normal.
Well, I would say that it is normal, especially if you're not doing your soul's purpose.
Well,
so,
right.
So maybe if what's coming to me right now, like with your wife's experience. So, I think I'm losing it a little bit, but if you're doing what you want to do, then when you go to the store or when you drive, you're not going to be agitated. And when there's traffic, you're not going to be vexed because, oh, I need to get somewhere. You'll be lighter. You won't have that weight on you so that all of the stuff that really doesn't matter will roll off your back, right? Like,
I don't know. Do you mean to call it arrogance?
What do you mean?
Arrogance is based on my convenience.
Like, to explain that, I don't get that.
So when I get up in the morning, you know, I have kids. So if my kids are like, hey, good morning, Daddy. Oh, made our own breakfast. I'm dressed. I took a shower. And I'm ready. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm ready. We get in the car. You know, I pull up to the stop sign at Wawa. I'm letting everybody come on out. You know, everything's good, right? Come on, everybody. Come out from there.
I'll wait for the next red light.
15 cars behind me. You come on, everybody. Okay. You know, I'm at a great spot.
Okay.
The next day, my kids don't get out of bed. They aren't getting ready. We're running late. Now I'm fucking driving through the people's graveyard trying to get around the light because all of a sudden, a new set of rules don't apply. Those rules that I used to live by don't apply anymore. Arrogance.
So what I just saw was, so the goal should be that, you know, our happiness, guys, children, doesn't come from... If you're ready today and you're not ready tomorrow, my happiness isn't dependent upon that.
And happiness is on a minute to my minute basis.
So I think that even so, for me, this is what I say to my children. I don't care what you guys do. What's important to me is for you to have good posture and have some sort of, and do what you want to do. That's just what that will give me happiness. Do whatever job you want to do. You can play your games, but if you're in good posture, I feel like for me that trickle down effect, just that in itself, will get them to connect the dots to higher up on the ladder of feeling good.
Yeah.
So right, because the good posture helps with your breathing. You're just gonna feel better, and I mean that's not the end all be all, but I think that's a good. That's happy. I'm good with that.
Well, I think that you know, over the years we've just put so much on happiness. You know, everybody wants to be happy. Have you seen that? There's a I think it's a. Oh, I forget the commercial, but it's like this. It's like a coach, a life coach, and he's trying to help these people get rid of things. And you know, it's that live, love, and life happy signs. You know that have popped up. You know, live life, or you know, these trendy message signs.
Sure.
He's like, who needs love, life? And she's like, I do. He's like, nope. Boom, throws it in the trash. And then the other lady's like, I really love it, and throws it in the trash. It's like we have now put so much on. Happiness, like we're all supposed to be so happy.
I think yeah, that's the whole point.
Well, what is happy though?
Happiness is waking up on Sunday morning, waking up and hearing the children running around being happy or doing their thing. You're waking up to a cup of coffee, you and your wife
are... a certain time they have to wake up? Because that vary your happiness?
So happiness is... Right, this is coming to me. Cool. So happiness, the bar of happiness is my children are cool and healthy. I got money. I got food on the table. And we have a place to sleep tonight. That's happiness. If you can't see happiness in that, I think then you're lost. Mm-hmm. We're all healthy, 2020. So, and especially, oh, that's what 2020 taught us. If you didn't get the lesson in 2020 of what's important, then the universe is giving you that lesson.
Well, I was at home with my kids with plenty of money, and I was unhappy because they were getting on my nerves. So it's a little bit of convenience.
But check it.
I love my kids at 7:30, but at 5:30 in the morning, I'm not so happy if they're waking me up.
That's so beautiful because that's awesome. Now I'm like almost getting not emotional, but what about the person, what about the family that lost, you know, members of their family in the fire and whatever, and, you know, the children being abducted and,
well,
you know,
that's never good.
Well, that's never good. But the way we look at, so how you're supposed, in my opinion, in 2021, you have to understand that, okay, I see what's going on in the world. Yo, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, so that would be, so that's, so your bar of happiness, in my opinion, is, it should be really low. You know what I mean? Like, I often think, and sometimes get like, you know, when in Syria or in the Middle East or where these places where bombs are going off, like right now, like, you know, bombs or being scared of foreigners in your country, but not even in your country, in your environment. And yes, boom, like, and this is like, right? Like, wait, what? And we're over here. Like, I think sometimes, like, how are we so, like, so lucky?
Yeah, but see,
unscathed.
Dude,
like,
that's our part of our problem is we're spoiled. We have everything we want. We don't know what it's like. You know, I've always said, you know, put a Russian family next to me opening a restaurant. Put a like the guy over at Titanic from Turkey. He knows what it's like to not have things.
Exactly.
He knows what it's like to watch his family work every day, all day. And I tell you what, that doesn't mean just because they work every day and his father comes home in Turkey and he sits down in the family, they sit on the floor and they eat with their hands, I bet they're freaking happy.
So you brought it up, man. All of the people, all of the immigrants that come here want the American dream. That's what, like, right. We want the American dream. And so because of where they come from, right, their bar is that, oh my gosh, I totally will work to make this happen because they have the proper understanding how to progress.
Well, they're more about tell me what I can do and stop telling me what I can't do. And that is a, you know, like these people next door, when we went into this whole thing, they put up a tent.
Right. I remember that.
And I'm like, well, what'd the owner say? Didn't ask him. We just put the tent up. And the owner's like, oh, okay. You know, they're figuring it out.
Right.
I remember the people that were here before. They're like, well, we wanted to be down in Lewis, but we couldn't afford the rent. So this is where we are. And I go, well, you know, sorry. And they're trying to sell their product in a Lewistown prices. And I'm like, it's too expensive. Hmm. It's good. I'm like, yeah, well, they had no flex. It was all about their pride and ego and what they thought, and they're gone. And these people here are here through COVID, and they're hanging in there, and I love that.
So I think, to me, it sounded like you were talking about, you know, the energy of someone. They weren't successful because they didn't have the right energy.
Right. They don't have quit in them.
They have what?
They don't have any quit in them.
Quit. These people.
That's right.
I'm talking about the people who left, though.
Oh, they quit.
They quit because they didn't have anything to, right?
They weren't being recognized the way they felt they should have been.
Maybe their poop didn't stink or something like that, right?
Well, I'll never forget. Matt was alive back then, and the restaurant, I'll just say the name was Toute de Suite.
Okay.
It was French.
Okay.
She was a French baker.
She says, oh, bon, bon.
Nice couple.
Okay.
Nice enough.
Sure.
Actually, they're kind of not that nice, but, you know, whatever.
Francais.
Pain in the ass. And so their sign, I'll never forget this, their sign was in cursive. And it was like this fine cursive print. And I'm like, you couldn't even understand what, you couldn't
like
even.
Like calligraphy or something?
Yeah, you couldn't even read the sign. I'm like, what does that say? A tout de suite. I'm like. I'm like, okay. And I remember Matt said, that is all ego, that sign.
Okay.
Their sign should say, best croissant ever.
Right.
I'm sure that's taken. Right. So what do we? Where do we start from there? You know, like a hamburger place. Best hamburger ever.
Right.
You know, best seafood. That should be the sign. If it's not available, then we'll work our way down. But tooth to sweet and cursive and fine penmanship.
Where you don't even.
Yeah, you don't even know. Is this a, what is this, a calligraphy store? Right. You know, you don't even right. know because right. the ego got involved.
Okay.
And yeah, so. You can just imagine.
I hear you.
Where
I,
they were.
I hear you.
And they're still around. Dave, he actually, they do a lot at the farmer's market and stuff. They did have a good product, but you know, you got, if you want to have that, if you want to be where the where you sell the good products, you better sell a lot of them, right?
I hear you. I hear you. I didn't know of that place.
When, well, I how, didn't read, how long read the sign.
I know. I didn't. How long were they, when did they leave?
We both started September 2010. Okay. We both started at the same time, and they were gone within a year.
Wow. Yeah. So, yeah, to me, that just seems like that's an energy thing.
I, you know, this happiness thing is an interesting topic because I think that, you know, as people in this society that we live in, we, you know, we go through school and then we get to a point, my son's going through it right now. He's getting ready to, you know, he's going to graduate and he's got to pick college, right? It's time.
He has to?
No, he didn't have to do anything. But that's how he's thinking. Okay. I need to think about college. And I'm like, okay. And he's, you know, he's 16 years old and, you know, he'll be 17 when he graduates. But, you know, he's a young kid.
Yeah.
But he's making lifelong he's making a decision that will last the rest of his life for the, you know, most of the time.
Okay.
And I just, it's a tough time to do that. And a lot of people feel the pressure, whether it's their parents or their peers or just society. And they, you know, I think we're always trying to find jobs that pay millions, right? Mm-hmm. Oh, I want to be a doctor. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be this. I want to be, you know, I want millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And so they pick these jobs and I'm not sure that people are ready. You know, of course, we have our some people that are, and we appreciate that. We appreciate our doctors and lawyers and stuff, but not everybody's cut out for it.
Hmm.
And then you're kind of left after it's all said and done. You know, I don't know how many people that I know that have gone to college and are in a job that they don't use their college degree from. And so then they're kind of stuck with that. And so you just kind of get to your this point in life where you're not really doing what you like. You're kind of stuck because you've built like an apartment or a house or something that you gather things in your little journey and you get to a point with you're stuck with a lot of debt and a life you don't really like, doing something you don't really like, surrounded by people that are really annoying, that are making wow. money and shit. So it is I think this whole thing is exposing that.
I think that the template of after high school, you go to college for 4 years, is outdated. It's right.
It's broken.
It's broken. It doesn't work.
I think we should do, you finish school and you should go do 4 years of civil service. You should work for our country. You know, whether it's, you know, it doesn't have to be in the military, but you know, something we should have, and most countries do this.
Programs.
You serve civil service, you know, the fat kids get skinnied up, the skinny kids get some muscle, you know, the whiners get, you know, cleaned up, the arrogant and
totally with you,
everybody gets equalized, and then you send
humanized
these people, yeah, humanized, and then they send these people out and start looking for jobs and careers, and maybe you even get some education in the civil service while you're doing it. But a uniform Monday through Friday,
uniform,
why not?
Mm-hmm.
And a tie.
I think the uniform, because
Wait a minute. Sunborn. You want to go to? You want these people to go do civil service with no uniform?
I think that I wouldn't even. So, how I would see what I would bring to the table to that idea is that yes, we're going to humanize. Let's humanize each other and let's work together. You know, the suburban kids need to interact with city life and city environment, and vice versa. And I think it would be come as you are, man. Like, be yourself. Come to, you know, the children who haven't been out of the city.
The problem is that, you know, not everybody has come as you are gear. You know, there are people
what
that
mean?
Are, there's people that don't have as great of clothing. Some people have better clothing. That it's one of the things I like about like where David goes to school. They have a uniform.
Where they go? Oh, Sussex.
Yeah, where your son went. And you
my
know,
girls go.
Yeah, your girls go. So it makes, you know, it puts everybody on an even playing field. You know, there's not better, there's not worse. We're all khakis and a blue shirt. You know, and I think that would be, you know, and you know, you get up, you get dressed, you get your uniform, and I mean, you know, whatever the task it is, the civil services that you're doing. But I just feel like there should be something there for people when they come out of high school. They're just not quite ready.
I think that you the thing that came up that really stuck, that hit me, that we could talk about maybe in a different time, is that idea of humanizing. It almost seemed like it was a, yeah, how do we humanize?
Humanizing would be good. I think it's getting out of the Americanized. Well, nothing gets, well, I love when people come over here and then they kind of get Americanized and then they don't want to, they change.
So then, what would the definition of Americanized be? So, because I think what just came to me, America doesn't know how beautiful it is because the world is here. Everyone wants to come here. We probably have, right, from all over the planet. Yeah, there's someone all from over, how do I say that, right? Someone from all over the, people all over the planet, wherever country you probably have, they're probably here. Do you see what I'm saying? I'm not.
Sure.
Okay. So.
Well, it's spoiled. You know, I have friends in India. You know, we're unfortunately kind of a joke. It's sad, but the way, you know, the entitlement that we have here,
we reduce that with the humanizing project. That will get, because then everyone will, their egos will be diminished. But it's kind of sort of happening now a little bit, not with the dehumanizing, but the hip hop culture is bridging a lot of like everyone's, all different races are into hip hop. And so what I'm seeing in that little section is that, you know, you can go to a hip hop concert, you see Wu-Tang or whoever you're watching, and you have a mix, well, you have actually more white people in the crowd. If I don't know if you've heard, known that.
I thought you and I weren't going to identify white or black. Remember?
No.
Yeah, remember? I said, why do I have to be white?
No, but someone said, but you have to see. Oh, do you know who Jane Elliott is?
No.
Okay. Jane Elliott is awesome. And so I'll send you something about her. But yeah, like to dehumanize us. So I lost my train of thought.
Well, I was thinking, you know, it's like swimming across an Olympic-sized pool. Okay. You know, the problem is that we send these people out into the deep end really early.
Right.
And you get about halfway and they start drowning. And that happens about in your 30s and 40s. It happens to a lot of people. They get out. They don't know how they got there. They don't know why they're there. And they have this midlife change, you know. And some people drown. I think we need to spend more time in the shallow, whether it's a civil service or working with others, but more time in the shallow so that when it's time to cross that deep end, you feel strong. You're stronger and you can get across all the way instead of halfway through. What am I doing? You know, I mean, it's nice. Like living here is a great example because we either have waiters or waitresses, you know, restaurants, or yoga and fitness, or, you know, the hair industry or the beach, you know. But everybody comes here and they hate what they're doing. Now they become a yoga instructor. You know, everyone's into wellness, which is great.
It's trendy now?
I think it just has happened throughout our lifetime. People get to a point in their life and they're like, I don't know why I'm here or what I'm doing. And they just say, forget it, and I'm going to be a yoga instructor. And I love wellness and spirituality and serenity. I think serenity is, people want this. I think what people should want is serenity. You know, they made a prayer about it. God grant me what? If you're going to ask God to grant you one thing and it should be awesome, you would think, okay. And what did they ask for? Right. Serenity.
Serenity.
God,
serenity
grant
prayer.
Me serenity. And serenity is a byproduct of granting me the ability. So God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I can't change. Mm-hmm. So that's surrender, right? Mm-hmm. I'm accepting. Listen, I have to accept this. I can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm. The ability to accept it, mm-hmm. courage to change the things I can, mm-hmm. and the wisdom to what?
The wisdom, I forget.
To know the difference.
Okay.
So that's what got people, they're going to, let's invent a prayer and let's make it pretty awesome. And mm-hmm. it's pretty simple. Mm-hmm. God, grant me serenity, mm-hmm. which no one talks about, mm-hmm. the ability to accept the things I cannot change, and mm-hmm. the courage to change the things I can. Mm-hmm. It's...
I'm with you.
It's a lost art.
What
serenity.
What if that teaching was given in kindergarten? What if we could convey that? If so, whatever. If you're not even, but it's, you don't even have to look at it religiously. I think that is the best way to look at it. That's like you opened up another door, a portal when you talk about that.
Well, it's portions of our life. You know, when we're young, up into our 20s and 30s, we're ego, we're pride. You know, we're driven. You know, our chests are out. And then we get in our mid-range and we're like, hey, I realize that isn't that important. I don't really care what they think anymore. You know, I start becoming, you know, you have maybe both feet in self early on. And then you get to my age, in my 50s, and then all of a sudden you may have one foot over in there and maybe one foot in this new life you're living. And you're sort of tormented because you missed that, but you kind of dig this. And then you get a little farther and you're like, wow, this is really important that I'm just so grateful that I have my life here. I don't want to go to the clubs. You know, I don't need to chase women. I'm grateful I'm married and have beautiful kids and they're going to school.
You're in your
and
lane.
You surrender. Mm-hmm. You give up that shit.
You're bringing up a bunch of different things.
That's why I'm here.
But it's like, I think that what happens, okay, so it's a huge doorway because we're still evolving.
Yeah.
And so in your 50s, you've reached like this level, you've reached this understanding. And if we can teach this I think that the human beings are still evolving. So yes, you've reached this place that you've got this, the plateau that you're on, you can look around and you see, and you can, whatever.
Are we evolving or partially dissolving?
I think we're evolving, and the silliness, whatever, whoever's not going to evolve or won't be able to make it to the next level. But I think that, yes, we are evolving because some of the things that you're bringing up, we are family issues because that, you know, we couldn't, you know, your family, maybe that person's dad was drinking or abusive. And he was in the system because he wasn't doing what he wanted to do. And it's so being able to, right, to take the tweezers or whatever, the scalpel, and take out that false narrative of or bringing in the real truth or narrative that, okay, you should be doing what you want to do so that you are, and that will, if you're doing what you want to do, I don't think that you're going to be abusive to your wife.
No,
and I don't think that you're going to be doing things that are going to be hurtful to the world, because that's that same thing of like the energy of when you're running, you feel like it's something within you that comes up, and you're a different. I know that after exercise, I'm a different person.
Yeah, it's a day by day basis, and there are days where I'm literally hanging on minute by minute, mm-hmm. and there are days that I'm
with
like,
your run.
No, just or, with life.
Okay.
You know, I remember when I got involved with this small business, and the person that I did it with took over and basically went rogue, and I had not there. I couldn't do anything. I was helpless. I couldn't do anything.
Okay.
I was hopeless. Mm-hmm. And I started praying and turning it over, and it was bad in the beginning. I was like, oh my God, this is like, I just want to go kill her mm-hmm. with a gun. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how inconvenienced I was, the arrogance in me. All of a sudden now, I felt like there was a chance I should just go run her over with my car. Like that would be okay.
Right.
The arrogance had peaked. And
or you were that upset.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm upset. That's lazy. I'm upset. Okay, well, let's figure it out.
Well, before, no, you're upset. That emotion, I'm angry. Like that's the thing.
Yeah, but why are you angry?
Something real is talking to you.
Yeah, but why are you angry?
You might be angry because maybe someone offended you or someone did something.
No, I'm not getting what I want. So my wife and I had this whole conversation. You know, we invested in this business with this girl because we wanted a big payback.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted money.
Mm-hmm.
Greed got involved. And we made choices that we shouldn't have made because greed was right there.
So you can look back in hindsight.
Absolutely.
And see that.
Because I eventually have to take responsibility for that, or I'm going to sit there and be a victim for my whole life.
So what about the guy, Dogfish guy? Was his thing for greed when he's trying to make money with Dogfish? Is that like, or any other business owner or entrepreneur that's early in the stages of, or trying to find that partner?
Yeah, but Dogfish guy, I remember when I was drinking in 96, and I watched, you know, Sam the Dogfish guy go from bar to bar and drop off beer out of a van. He was the hardest working guy, one of the hardest working guys I knew. I got involved in this business because I wanted to put a little money in and get a huge return in a short amount of time with a little amount of work.
And was that your energy?
Yes.
Okay, so then.
Well, at the first, I'm like, oh, this is a very important job. I think it's, you know, but reality, when it didn't go well and we lost money, and my wife's like, I can't stand her. And I go, that's fine, but let's identify the roles that you and I played.
Wow.
And the roles that we played was greed. We wanted a small amount of money with a giant amount of return.
But did you go into it like, can you go back in hindsight and be like, wow, my motives, my intentions were not to work hard.
Yes.
Okay. So then that would be your fault. Like,
it's my fault.
Your integrity's not there.
Dude, it's like when you're sitting in front of your car wrapped around a telephone pole with your hands in your face going, why me, God? You drove the dumb car into the telephone pole. It was absolutely my fault. It's just the ability to recognize it. Some people will be like, ah, she screwed us over. I can't believe it.
I get that. But if
no, I have to identify. I have to recognize. In the big book, there's an example. It's called, you know, it's a four-step. And it's Mr. Jones. I always talk about this. And it's like, I hate Mr. Jones. And me and you like talking. Yeah, I hate Mr. Jones, and you and me be fine with that statement. But the reality is like, why? I just hate him.
Mm-hmm.
And then you say, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out Mr. Jones has a prettier wife. Turns out Mr. Jones has a better car. It turns out Mr. Jones has a better job. So those are the things I hate. But if I group them all together and say I just hate Mr. Jones, it's lazy.
Mm.
And fine, but you know, you're going to do that over and over and over with many, whether it's Mr. Jones, that car, my job, until you start understanding, well, the reality is that I ditched a lot of school and I had to get my GED and I barely had a job. And, you know, I'm not that great of a guy. So I was lucky to find a girl at all.
Mm.
And so there's reasons why I'm in the position I'm in.
Mm.
I have to identify that and at least say, okay, all right, I got it. I can make changes. I can do maybe go to night school, whatever it is, if that's what's important. But identifying that stuff, because that's the kind of shit that starts to undermine the foundation of your serenity.
Hmm. Interesting. That's interesting. I feel like I see a lot of different things happening there, but I get it.
The Matrix.
I just think that, and you know, as we phase out.
Do you hate anything?
Hate? Hate is a strong
word. Okay. Well, pick the word, but do you understand the example?
Do I have something that I detest or something that I don't really like?
Yeah, I mean,
maybe ignorance.
Yeah,
ignorance. But do I hate it? It's like I kind of feel sorry for you. Like, I mean,
have you ever done something and it's hung up? It's hung with you for a long time. It has more power than it should have.
I think, but that would go short. Yes, like.
And could you look at it in a different way and start to become accountable for the part we played in things? Have you ever done that?
Like in a relationship or something like that?
Sure, that's a good one. Because I've lost some relationships because that chick was a B. When reality is,
you were the D. You were the D.
That was the A.
I think that I was actually just talking to someone about that, and kind of trying to understand that. So, you know, dealing with like fidelity energy or whatever, is that you have, if you were the person that, you know, were betrayed or what have you, are you responsible in some way to that? That's what the conversation was.
Probably.
Really? You would be like, you would be responsible for your partner cheating on you? You played a part in it?
Well, you know, I mean, you have the obvious standard. If you're married, you should never cheat regardless, right?
Okay.
But, you know, if you make a situation, or, you know, So let's say you're married and let's say you drink too much. Mm-hmm. All right.
But it has to be. But I don't think you want to say married.
I don't think marriage has the power it used to.
Okay.
Back in the day, you didn't. We're watching the Bridgertons on Netflix. I don't know if you've seen it, but mm-mm. You know, the honor, marriage. You know, they didn't talk. You know, sex, anything like that. I mean, even if you were caught like kind of holding hands or mm-hmm. you were
Googling
you,
on,
yeah, you were back. You were like banished. So, I think the marriage word has lost its power. But you know, marriage relationship.
Okay.
You know, my first wife left me because I drank too much.
Okay.
And damn right she should have. Okay. I was a total asshole.
Okay.
But, you know, if I hadn't gotten sober, I could have sat around, you know, I could see myself in a broken down lawn chair in a single wide down in Florida going, that dumb bitch left me because of that. You know, it's like zero
responsibility. What she's missing.
Zero responsibility. Right, right. And, you know, so I look at this stuff because I want serenity.
Okay. You want that peace.
I don't care about happiness. I don't think we even know what happiness is. If I asked you what's happiness, or maybe not you, Sunborn, but you know, my kids, what's happiness? $1 million and a Lamborghini. They don't know. This is what society has taught them. And I think that a lot of people are like that. We're all about
material.
What we want,
okay.
Stuff.
Things.
There's
something.
Nothing, you know, my buddy Carlos, he has a giant house. He's a big, you know, he's a big shot. And but every day he's like, this house is too big. We got too much stuff. It's like, I think ego takes us to places, and then humility shows up and like goes, what'd you do that for? Mm-hmm. You know?
Or reality.
Reality.
Right. Yeah. Like, are you sure you want to be with her? Or like, no. So, yeah, that's very interesting. I don't know. I guess the example that we were talking about was, you know, but it actually was a little deep. But how are you, you know, maybe if someone... Is the girl, do we punish the girl who's being abused by her boyfriend and she's responsible if she goes back? Like if she sticks around, then she's, do you see what I'm saying?
Like, yeah, I mean, you can get it complicated if and figure out scenarios that makes it hard to identify that stuff. Yeah, you know, if someone's abused, of course, we don't support that, obviously. But the point is that it's identifying shit that you do in your life that maybe in the past you would have just called it something like a broader thing. Like, I just hate Mr. Jones. Okay. And really, it's all the great things Mr. Jones have done.
Okay.
Has shown all the bad things or all the lack of things that you have done. That's what you hate.
What's Mr. Jones triggering in you? Mr. Jones, so it's like, what? Right. So, and that would be kind of the same thing with, you know, back in the day when, you know, the husband is mistreating his wife or, you know, I don't know. Mistreating his wife. I see it as, what did you say? So if he's mistreating his wife, I see it as, what did you say? What was the last thing you said?
I don't know.
Oh man, I lost it. The trigger. So you're being triggered by something. So being able to, so what you're doing is able to understand what's going on in your mind, in your brain. And so we have, I think, the development that we've been, how humans have been developing since they have been developing, the brain is still coming into its own.
Yeah.
Right? So.
Well, and you know, all this stuff that I keep my finger on the pulse of this stuff is because in the end, I don't want to drink alcohol.
Okay.
That's my downfall.
Okay.
Alcohol.
Okay.
That's why. You know, I've learned about this. That's why I continue to learn about it, because these are the things that start to undermine all the great things that we understand and all the sureness of where we stand and feel strong about our foundation. All of a sudden, these little dumb things start chipping away at it.
Hmm.
And then the next thing you know, you're like, look how good you've done.
Hmm.
Maybe a drink would be fine.
Okay.
That's my fear.
Okay.
And I've had it happen.
Okay.
And
it's still creepy. It's like it's lurking. It lurks.
Dude, my addiction, alcoholism. But listen, you know, alcohol gets you in jail. I mean, right now I'm struggling with sugar.
Okay.
But donuts don't get you put in jail.
Okay.
So they're hard. You know, my wife's like, I said, that's it. No more sugar. She goes, oh, I support you. Does that mean no more Reese's though? I'm like, yes. That's the devil discs. That is
that's insane. Especially Reese's.
You know, when I said, that's it. No more alcohol.
Right.
Oh, I agree. But you could probably still have vodka. It's like, no, you know.
So then for me, like, because I don't like to drink, I feel like there's an alternative. There's got to be something to
substitute. Well, you don't have any. You don't have any real devils in your life, you know.
So even to what we're saying now, I feel like that goes back to something, whatever's an experience that you had, something gave you, right? So it seems like that something gave you that, was it the proclivity to, that maybe I need something. Like I need something to make me feel good.
Right. Well, it's not a habit. I think alcoholism was a lot of habit.
But it sounds like, and whatever, just in this conversation, it sounds like there's just you, like, so the sugar is kind of like your substitute for the alcohol or something like that.
I guess. It acts just like it. If I have one, like I tried, I literally would eat one Reese's peanut butter cup.
Mm-hmm.
Not a package, mm-hmm. one cup.
Like the little minis?
No, the big full size.
Okay.
Oh, come on now. That's one. One devil disc, okay? And but as soon as I had that one, I need something. It's just it starts the sugar, the obsession.
I got you.
And alcohol is sugar, so you know, but donuts don't get you put in jail.
I think so. That's awesome. So, but you're familiar with like MSG, right? Like you,
Michael Schenker Group.
Which Michael Schenker?
Michael Schenker Group.
Who's that?
He was a brother of one of the guitarists for the Scorpions band.
Oh, nice.
Out of Germany.
Down at Gorky Park.
Yeah. Ooh. I like that. It was nice.
Nice. So, but yeah, so it sounds like it's like I don't do like my sugar. This is where I'm at with sugar. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich would be my sweet. And I would do that like later in the day. So this is what check me out. This is what I do. I haven't had anything to eat today. I will break my fast and it won't be sugar. It will like, I didn't have any sugar yesterday. I didn't, right? Yesterday's meal was quinoa, peas, some kombuchas. There's sugar in the kombucha. It's very interesting. Yeah, so because I hear what you're saying.
I like that diet. See, I want to do that diet. Peas,
pea protein, like it's
quinoa.
I think what it's almost like because I'm into health and everything. This is so funny how this is coming in right now. Yeah, so it's like you're like what? You're addicted to sugar.
Yeah,
you're addicted to sugar.
I'm only addicted when I try it, when I eat it. Like right now, I'm not going. I need some sugar.
Did you eat breakfast?
Yeah.
Okay, so you eat breakfast every day.
Well, I'm trying. I don't, but I'm trying to. I think part of my problem is as I get a little obsessed with food, so I feel like I'm fat. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm not going to eat. And I think my body thinks that I'm starving. My body doesn't know that it's 2021. My body just thinks I'm traveling the land, right? You know? And all of a sudden, we're not getting any food. Clearly, there's no food up there. So I'm going to start storing it.
Exactly.
And so I'm like, okay, what you need to now do, insanity, come in here, the conversation, is I need to try to eat more. I need to keep my motor running.
Nice.
So this morning I had two eggs over easy and a piece of toast.
Toast. Okay.
But I ran 4 miles.
And you ran.
Yeah.
What time did you get up?
5:30.
And what time was breakfast?
Well, I ran. I got done at 6:30. I probably ate 7:30.
So I would almost say that I would hold off on that meal. This is what I do, bro. I wait until I'm hungry, until my body's like.
Well, the problem is that when that happens, then I end up having to buy something. Or my choices are not as good. Because two eggs and a piece of toast is pretty safe.
It's not bad.
It's
not
pretty
bad.
Clean. Mm-hmm. You know, just over easy
sure.
and a little bit of Pam or something. If I waited till I got hungry, I might have something like a pizza or something different other than the simple thing.
So you couldn't. So what if you made your egg and ate it a little bit later? So you've heard of intermittent fasting?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, man. They said 12. I went 18.
18 hours?
Yeah.
I'm going all the way.
Okay. This is intermittent. This is a complete fast. Well, that's how I am.
I'm a
freaking addict.
I hear you.
I mean, if 12's good,
18's
got to be better.
I love that.
And then I changed. Remember, I think we've done a podcast on this. Remember, I'm like, the body isn't designed to eat all day. The body's designed to, one day we eat berries, another day we may get some meat.
Right,
you know,
yeah.
This whole, I become like an instructor.
Right.
And then I'm like, wait a minute, I'm putting on more weight than I was before I started this intermittent fasting. So,
wow, that was.
I'm trying to find something that I can do on a consistent basis, and I'm also trying to lower my standards of what I want for myself. And I think what I would like is just to be able to walk around in like a, you know, a bathing suit without any clothes on and be like, yeah, look at me, I look fine.
Yeah. So I like I've been thinking about that, and just for myself, right? Like trying to take care of myself. And being able to, how do we say that? I think you should go vegan for a little bit.
Ooh.
Hmm?
I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm certified health coach, bro.
Okay.
Like, yeah, nutritionist. Like, well, it's maybe health life coach.
Maybe we should do a food podcast.
Oh, I would love to geek out, dude.
And we can discuss. I can be the guinea pig, the rat.
No, but it seems like I could totally get you set up if you wanted to like.
I would
to
like.
Be nice.
I've thought about that.
Because you run
right, but my problem is that I don't know if I'm. I don't know if I can find the enough variances in my meal or my diet to not get bored with it. Because, you know, it takes a lot of work. I want the results. I'm just not sure I'm ready to put in the work.
But why not? Like, if you're alive right now.
Well, why are you vegan?
I'm.
Why are you mad at meat?
Why? I'm not mad at meat. I just want to be healthy as possible. And I think that.
So
the less
meat makes you unhealthy?
Not necessarily. I think eating a lot of greens and stuff from the earth, not just the animals that eat the grass, the animals that eat the grass. But if you're eating your peas and you're eating right your fruits and vegetables, that can like really like fill you up, man.
Well, you'd be amazed. So my diet, like last night, I cooked a rotisserie chicken. I got this cool rotisserie thing for Christmas. So I cooked a chicken on the rotisserie.
It's vertical or horizontal?
Horizontal.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Is vertical better? Because they don't make that thing. That's a
the thing with they what's that called? There's a group of people that cook
Greeks,
that way.
The Greeks. Okay. That group of people.
I don't know.
But I did a rotisserie chicken. I had fresh green beans, and I made fresh mashed potatoes, and that was our dinner last night.
Okay.
So, and then I had grapes, and you know, I do eat veg. I am actually a great eater.
Okay. I think you are. I would say that. I would guess that.
I think my challenge is that I've confused my metabolism.
Okay.
That I think is what my biggest challenge for me is my metabolism,
okay.
And I keep like. You know, I go from one thing to another. I went from divorce. I was skinny as hell at divorce. And then you can find some happiness. And then you go through this weird happiness where you're going out to eat a lot and you're eating nachos and you're just having the blast. And then you put on the I'm happy 15. And then you're like, oh, shit. So then you take away your food. Now you're like kind of starving. And then you do like intermittent fasting and I'm running. And it's just 19 different things. And my body's like, what are you doing? So what I want to try to do is find a nice, simple little pattern, a couple eggs in the morning, some meat. I try to have a little bit of meat or something clean, not a lot of processed stuff at lunch, and then a decent dinner and stay active. And I was talking to a friend of mine, well, what do you eat? And he goes, you know, not really, his diet, our diets weren't too variants from each other.
I do basically I do one meal a day. One big like meal a day, and I think and so with the evolution, I believe that that's where we're heading. I believe that we're eating humans eat too much, especially Americans. You don't need all that food that you're eating. I believe.
Well, I'm not sure we're eating enough. I think we're eating more's going in than's coming out. We're not putting out the effort, and it seems like as humans or Americans, our goal is to do the least amount with the most amount of reward.
Of course, so that's the American way.
It's not a good combination.
That is the soft American way. That is the sad American way, right?
It's sad.
The standard American, or SAS, standard American situation.
Sounds good. Well, listen, I have got. We've been at this. I think we've created enough conversation for one day. We can get back and do this again. I've got to do another podcast with my with Big Carlos. But thank you.
Indeed, thank you.
It's always a good chat.
Always. We were getting warmed up. It was awesome.
Well, listen, come back. We can do it again next week. Okay. It doesn't matter. I just
whenever you can schedule me in.
Yeah. Maybe we might have to make the Sunborn podcast.
Well, we did drop a couple of things. I definitely am interested in talking about health and food and stuff like that.
Well, I think we should work on getting rid of happiness.
Getting rid, and we can find another term.
Yeah, because it's a lazy word. It's
right.
Too
it's
broad.
Too exactly.
It's too broad, yeah. And too much happiness is based on it. And right. I don't think it's fair to us. It's not fair to the word. You know,
I
love
you.
Serenity, and serenity. I love that serenity yeah. prayer.
Yeah, the serenity prayer is beautiful.
You know, there's you're asking for things and the strength to do other things, and that to me is a big deal.
I hear you.
All right, brother.
Cool.
Talk to you later.
Until then.
Bye.
Greetings.